Have I been talking to Andy's ghost? I don't believe in ghosts. More likely, there is a parallel universe where Andy didn't die, and the two worlds are rubbing up against each other. I think I read a sci-fi book about something like that. I wonder if, in the living Andy's universe, I'm the one who died in the fire. Maybe in that universe, I was a tiny bit braver, and I ran into the burning house on my own. And maybe the other Andy wasn't brave enough to come in after me. Does that mean that the Andy I've been talking to for the past few years is a lesser Andy? Possibly. Maybe that's why he didn't come forward and confess to making the phone call. Maybe that's why he let me be kicked out of school. I wonder what he's doing now. I tighten the miniature clamp that holds the bridge sections together while the glue dries, then start restringing the suspender cables. Another possibility, I don't know how I could have forgotten about this, is that Andy didn't die in the fire at all. He might have slipped out the back of the house and then, as a joke, hidden out for a few days to watch his own funeral. It must have been quite a scene when he showed up alive at his parents' door. Why don't I remember that? In fact, I wonder why I haven't seen Mr. and Mrs. Morrow lately. Is it true that they sold the house to George Fuller and moved out years ago? I wonder how George Fuller likes living with a ghost. I have to trim one of the bridge sections, but I can't find my X-Acto knife. I start looking through boxes. Where did I put that thing? I think the dregs of the Prolofton must still be messing with my memory. Then I open one of the boxes, and there it is. Not the X-Acto knife. Something much, much better. I find the Victorinox Explorer that Andy gave to me. Bright red plastic handle, 17 shiny tools. Perfect. Douglas?
Yeah?
What are you doing down there at this time of morning?
Working on my bridge.
How long have you been up?
Not long. Doug!
What?
Are you ready to go?
I'm busy.
Whatever you're doing, it can wait.
No, it can't.
Doug!
I hear my father's feet on the basement steps. He reaches the middle of the steps and stops.
Come along, Doug.
I told you, I'm busy. The bridge is almost complete. My father descends to the bottom of the steps and stops, with a bare bulb burning a few inches above his gray head. He's wearing his long, dark gray wool coat and his dark gray wool hat with the brim all the way around. Nobody wears hats like that anymore, except my father.
You're just sitting there, he says.
I'm watching the paint dry. As soon as it's dry, I can lay the track.
Doug, did you take your pill this morning?
Mom watched me take it. I had to hold it under my tongue for almost 5 minutes before I was able to spit the pasty fragments into my palm. He nods.
Well then, let's get going. We have an 11 o'clock appointment, and it will take us 40 minutes to get there.
Why don't you and Mom go without me?
Doug, we're doing this for you. Please, come along.
He waits, staring at me with a bland expression. Something is very wrong here. Why isn't he yelling?
I don't want to go. I'm sorry, Doug, but this is not acceptable.
My father should be shouting, but instead he's talking to me in this quiet, insistent voice.
I don't think I'm going to talk him out of this.